Where the third pasuk test. Paragita pasuk test, but the thing is that it got cut off. Silly me. I started photocopying one page. Let me get a real knock. Okay, we're going to start a pasuk test. Vayakav noso shichmo lechs mim Shmuel. When he turned away for good to go from Shmuel, ve'apochlo lukim le'vacher, ve'avokosos elabiyamu, then God gave him a different heart, and all these miracles, all these wonders befell Shmuel Shol at that time. Ve'avoshama givasa, and he came there to then to Giva, with pasgiud, ve'inei chevel nevim likraso, there was a group of nevim coming down towards him, v'atitzlachol of ruach lukim, and the Spirit of God came upon him, devolved upon him, v'yisnari v'sochem, and he prophesied together with those ones. Everybody knew Shaul from yesterday and the day before. Vayiru, they saw this. In Nevi'im Nibon, behold, with Nevi'im he was prophesying. Vayomer Aram, the nation said, Ishareu, each man to his friend, Ma'azayel ben Kish. What happened to the son of Kish here? Hagam Shaul ben Nevi'im. Is Shaul also become a prophet? So let's see the Malbim here. In Pesukei Aleph. It means to say it's well known. So I saw them be used in order to attain prophecy. First, you need two preparations. First of all, the natural preparation. That he should have the proper disposition and the proper mental powers and mental imagery. Prepared for this capacity to prophecy. From birth and from the womb and from a conception. You have to have the preparation of free choice, of choice. She also be dodedus when you're training yourself by involving yourself in meditation or precious and separating yourself tara and in holiness, in purity, in kedusha and holiness, etc. And they thought, oh, furthermore, that to be prepared to be a navi in the sense of having the proper disposition and imagery and such like. You cannot conceive of Rachmi of Levain unless the father bequeaths those traits to his son. Like it says, Hab Zakai Livno, the father bequeaths to his son, Bechachma, wisdom, Bechoach, strength, etc. Shalkantim to Yetzer, Bemish Avi by a Navi. And therefore you'll normally find a son who's a Navi more where the father was a Navi. Vaiko Yodam Esmo Shilsham. So therefore they knew that he didn't come from a household of Nevuah, we're going to see that in a minute, but besides that, Shaul never prepared himself to be Navi, never went to the school of the prophecy schools. And he only dealt with his father's household. And see now, and nonetheless, he's prophesying with the prophets. His power is stable. So anybody saw this would have two amazements. First of all, wasn't having natural preparation from his father's household. So I keep prophecy. And therefore it says, Mazel ben Kish. What happened to the son of Kish? How could he prophesy? Alo, ain't Aviv, no Navi. His father's not a prophet. In terms of what he could do to prepare himself, was he until now among the prophets, among the student prophets? Was he preparing himself for learning how to prophecy? So they respond. Vayan ish misham, an individual from Giva, which was Shaul's hometown, got up and said, Vayomer, umiyaviyem, who's their father? In other words, it's not true. It doesn't have to be given over from father to son. And the proof of the pudding is that the fathers of these prophets, the bevy of prophets which he met, were prophesying, their father was also not a Navi. But so therefore we see that you don't need to have this father to son tradition. And however, there was nevertheless one Chiddush here, but Kano Yisrael Moshe, and that's why it became a popular saying. Hagam Shaul ben Nevi'im is Shaul among the prophets, so did he prepare himself? Or is it true, he might not need to be born into a family of prophets in order to achieve prophecy, because many prophets are not born into a family of prophecy. But the other question is that you certainly need to prepare yourself by meditating and using imagery and all that kind of stuff for many years before you actually get a real prophecy. Yet Sholia seem to get a real prophecy from scratch. That's why it says, how could this be? Agam Shol ben Avim would show a prophet that in the school of prophecy. Obviously, he wasn't. It must have been a special hashkacha from Hashem. So he stopped prophesying. When he came to the altar. So the uncle of Shol was suspicious. What's going on here? How can you become a navi just like that? He said, "Hey, love." He said to Shol Vel Naro and to Shol's psychic there. Analachtem, where'd you go? Where'd you get this power? This power of Nevuah. But Yomer, they respond, "Levakish Sonos. We went to see the donkeys, Vanira, and we checked it out, Kiain, and we couldn't find them. But of all Shmuel, he came to Shmuel. Vayomer Shol do the dodo. So Shol said to his uncle, and that's the secret of my prophecy, that I came into relationship with Shmuel. So he says, Hinei kidkin tua sonos. Shol related that the Shmuel told him where the donkeys were to be found. However, nevertheless, Shol did not tell his uncle that he had just been appointed king. I show Amar Shmuel that what Shmuel had said. Why? Because Rashi says, and Radak say, others say, that Shol was very tenor, very modest, very humble. And that's why I didn't say that he was made a king. So if you turn to my notes here, I want to show you a few ribs. We have a few ribs to look at tonight. Buzz you down design. It's the third to last page. We're going to have to understand in the course of our discussion, not right now, but not even tonight perhaps, although we'll try to begin tonight, how Shol relates to Tznius. Why does Shol relate to Tznius? Obviously he was a manifestation of that. He was very humble. He wouldn't say that he was an anointed king. So he was a big tsanua. How he manifests itself, or and what was the significance of that? Other than here. So yeah, a quote from Reb Tzadok. In Yudal Tezayin, first place where you have extensive Hebrew, when Haman complained to Achashverosh, he said that that which the Jews do, they hide them. Al Dash Shekasov like that, which it says, "Ain Esther Magen Esther will not tell where she was born." With Shol, and we find this thing is also by Shol. That's why he didn't tell over the matter of the kingship. Shol Ispoir, in order not to take glory. Ki Ain Lo Bameli Ispoir, because Shol was such a big tzaddik, he doesn't have any glory to take. Came in the Yoda, Shreino Shol, he knows it's not his kingship, it's only Hashem's giving it to him temporarily. But Hashem is Baruch Nosim, only Hashem's giving it to it. Masha Enkid, and what's all of it is distinct from the Goyim. The Sforim world, Shakol, Shalem, everything belongs to them. Haim is Barim, they take glory in their objects. Go Achashverosh, Barosa, like Achashverosh, he made this grandiose feast. Amon by Sapper, and Amon says later in the Megillah, he says that he tells over Osho over Obana of his riches and how many kids he has. That's a Croatian thing to do. So after all these boats, Clyde still got all this good stuff in the house of Amon, etc. But yeah, Mordechai based on Mordechai became the owner of the house of Amon. That's slow Loni's car. Miyad Osher Beferush. By Mordechai, never says he got rich. Doesn't say that by him. Rakul, the only thing it says is Mordechai Yotzer Bilvush. He went out with garments. Shalavush. Shalavush Rakulavush Eikor. All he got was glorious garments. Umani Mechabdusa and clothing, which gives the person who wears it honor. Kiena Ashu Shaklebetzim, because Mordechai is not really relevant or did not have any affiliation to riches. Rakamola Vush was only like a garment by him, yes.
I don't completely understand the purpose of having the quote about Esther at the beginning. And she's not talking about Malchus, she's talking about where she's from.
Right.
And besides that, the pasuk continues by saying that because Mordechai told her not to tell. Right? Esther didn't say where, her arm of Malachi tell because Mordechai said to her she shouldn't tell. What does that have to do with Tznius?
Tznius is not just to be modest. Tznius is also to not say things, keep secrets is also a form of Tznius.
We're not saying things for a purpose.
Well, I'm Mordechai told her not.
Well, okay, but see, that's a purpose saying, okay, she was nice, she listened to what Mordechai said. Now, she's not I don't think there's any evidence of the fact, but the reason she didn't want to mention her Amma and her Malatatah was because she felt it was improper for her to say such things.
Doesn't say more. Okay. It says Mordechai Tzivah Lesher.
Mordechai shouldn't say so. What is that? That's so she listened to Mordechai. That's not,
right.
It's not an issue with stance.
Oh, I see. Now it's
following what Mordechai told her to do. I don't think it's evident anywhere that she necessarily felt that it was improper from a stance point of view for her to mention where she was from.
I guess learning it from the point of view of what Mordechai could have had her say and didn't have her say is what was in Sneas. In other words, maybe Esther by herself doesn't indicate Sneas because she could have to listen to Avraham Avinu. Right, that's what you're saying. I'm to Mordechai. But to Mordechai and Esther together connote that Sneas concept. In other words, you're right. Esther, she might not have been a Tznua, but she had to listen to Mordechai. But Mordechai gave the command to Esther in order for Esther to be a Tznua. And she followed through on that.
Just the story of Purim. He told her not to tell her so that...
But Mordechai didn't know why. And Mordechai didn't know ahead of time either why he's telling her this. I mean, he didn't have a master plan. It was touch and go there for a while. Uh-huh. So, the thing I wanted to say is that also the language, the name of Esther, Anochi Haster Astir Panai, right? Esther means to be hidden, to be secret. And Esther was a great granddaughter of Shaul and of Kish. And therefore we see that really they have tznius in two ways. A, they can keep secrets, like Shaul did here and Mordechai and Esther did there. B, they're not flashy. Now I can go in. Because they feel everything goes on Kodesh Shem Yisbarach, so what am I getting, taking pride in my possessions for? So that's why Mordechai went out with the royal raiment, it was only as a Levush Machus. Not that he bad some was, that kind of stuck up or haughty person, yes.
Back to Esther though, I mean, I get the impression that she wasn't supposed to tell her Amma and everything, because if she revealed that she's from the Yehudim, then, you know, Ahasuerus may kill her, I mean, nothing will work if he knows she's a Jew.
I'm not arguing with you. That's similar to what Chaim was saying. Not arguing that the express intent or the implied intent was not saving Klal Yisrael, right? What we say, Bizchar Tzniel, Shoy Sabaster, whatever we say. I don't know if we say it here exactly, but in any event, it's not that Esther was Tanua because of Tzniel's per se. She had other motives here. We're looking at not her motivations, but rather at her activities. And she was able to keep a secret which nobody else would have been able to keep. That's what we're saying.
But even like there was stuff like that, all
right, you know,
like
Mordechai didn't
take pictures.
It's
going around
to
me that's not being
an evil story
like that.
Right.
In this day and age, especially.
In which day and age?
Days of Mordechai? Well, I suppose in any day and age, going out and dancing clothes and everything seems the opposite.
It was a Kiddush Hashem. Whose clothes is he wearing? Amon's.
Yeah.
What's a bigger Kiddush Hashem, to wear them or not to wear them? That's what he's saying. He had to wear them. The Kiddush Hashem was to show how we overcame Haman. But they're only a Levush. They didn't make him that kind of a guy. I felt him in the door. It's a little bit warm in here. If it gets too cold, I'll close it.
Just funnel the cold in.
In any event, now, this is one part I want to show you. Now, the second part, Shem Rachel Moreh, the name Rachel indicates, this is from the Me'ah Shiloach, from Reb Tzadok's Rebbe, Shem Rachel Moreh, it demonstrates, Shel Cheses Kino V'Nitzachon B'Libo, she maintains the zealousness and the power of victory in her heart. Veinu Motir B'Sfoseh, and she doesn't enunciate it with her lips. Kamash Kosa, it says, Paskin Yeshaya, Uki Rachel, like a sheep, which is the source of Rachel, Lifnei goes before her shearers, now Lama, she became silent. And her zealousness was for the sake of heaven. Like it says, meaning she wanted kids. The language of Leah, it means to be tired. She was always toiling. or working overtime, and she was yearning, Yeshua Hashem Yisbarach, for the salvation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, these are two very interesting things here.
Yeah,
Yeshaya. Correct? Sounds right.
That's the big Christian
Do you remember this pasuk?
It's the whole thing, you know, they're trying to say that it's talking about. But this is one of the biggest riots against them, as a matter of fact, because according to the Gospel of Matthew, I think it was, that he actually said, you know, my God, why have you forsaken me? Which isn't as like a sheep going to the shepherd, you know, quiet. So this is one of the silkim that they quote.
Okay, be that as it may.
Anyway,
the bottom line is that.
Make things a little more.
Rachel's silent. She's zealous. Sometimes jealous, l'shem shamayim, like she was jealous of Leah. But she's silent. She could keep a secret. Remember, the first night, she gave the simonim to Leah Yaakov, kept it quiet. She's a tznua. She doesn't go out. She keeps those secrets. Leah was the atzonis. She went out. So she went out when she hired Yaakov for the dudoim. She was constantly tiring herself out, looking for Yeshua Hashem, looking for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help in pursuing actively the help of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shaul was from Rachel. Shaul was a silent person, a modest person, a person who was capable of great anger and jealousy, of strife, l'shem shamayim. Those are all of his traits. When we talk about Shaul's tzias, we're talking about Shaul in the context of Rachel and in the context of jealousy, zealousness, silence, and modesty. Those are the traits which have to do with the house of Rachel, the house of Shaul through Binyan. Let's see Paz and we'll develop these themes later on. Let's see Pasuk Yitzayin through the test. Vayatzeik Shmuel Esam El Hashem Bamir Mitzvah. Shmuel brought the nation to the place of God where they normally gathered in Mitzvah. Vayom Bnei Yisrael, he said to Bnei Yisrael, Kama Hashem El Kesel, this is what God, the Lord of Israel, said. Anochi Elayzi Yisrael Mi Mitzrayim, I took the Jews out of Egypt. Vatzilatzchem Yam Mitzrayim, and I saved you from the hands of Egypt. Umiyakol Umam Lochus, from the hands of all nations, Halochatim Eschem, which are oppressing you.
Now, how effective an argument is this going to be?
Not very.
Okay, and so on. Especially because, you know, it's by this point in time, it's been a while since the Mitzrayim, and you're saying that that it was saved you from Kol Malachos Lachatzim Eschem, and we just said last week the fact that you had the Plishtim or sitting there at, where you said it by Tullstone, I think you said, and
yes.
It doesn't ring true.
I'm not sure exactly what the geopolitical situation was right now, but yeah, that's a valid point. But anyway, everything is relative. But tell me, Yomasev Etzel El Pesach, you'd test. But tell me, Yomasev Etzel Okechem, you today repudiated your God, Ashur Moshe Lechem, who saves you. Mikoro Seichem, from all natural misfortune, the Toro Seichem, and all the misfortunes which come upon you from other nations. Vatom alone, you said to God, Ki Melech Tosim Alei, you want to put a king upon us? Therefore, says Shmuel, since you said that, Batah, now it's Yatzu Livnei Hashem, Jew gathered before God, L'shivtechem al-Fechem, by tribe and by thousands of men. Now, from this we see that although Shmuel incarnated Shaul privately, that to be a public ceremony, which we're preparing for. And the Mahan Brooks brings down a possible design three reasons why we need a private ceremony. Aleph, Shlo Yiplu Benei Katotus Marim Rivos, that there shouldn't be fights and all sorts of battles. You call Chadis Nazi Limbo, because if they don't make a lottery, as they're going to make it in a moment, then everybody's going to say he's supposed to keep being king. Also, Beis, Acha Shamel Tosh Yalibo Noki Migaiba Vechemdos, it's a king has to have his heart free of holiness and of lust, the chotz chunara and all negative traits, so then you will not be able to tell for sure, I guess, what's going on inside there. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows for sure, but you can get some reckoning, I guess, by doing the public coronation. Gimel, שאם יהיה אחד מן העם נבחר, שאם יהיה נבחר מן העם, if you would have been chosen by the nation, then I would have said, yeah, they would have said, yichi, yichi, yikon alem. You'll be subordinate to them. These upanim la'asher bachru also, and he'll also treat favorably those who chose him. Lo kain be also b'chir Hashem. That's why, in order to avoid all these problems, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself was called upon to designate the king. Okay? So, yes. See, in modern Hebrew also the word for alarm is zi'aka. So therefore I guess it's just like the Tzadi and the Zion are interchangeable. Lehaz'ik is to the same thing as lehatz'ik.
So he was trying to alarm them
and them together? What? No. It's not, alarm means like to call people to come, you know, like a recess bell, that kind of alarm. So this is like, this Vayitzaku means to raise the alarm, but not in a negative sense, but rather, you know, to sound everybody to come together for some major thing, for some major event. Okay, Pasuk Chav. By Kreshulos Ked Kol Shiftei Yisrael, Shmuel brought close all the tribes of Israel and drew lots among all 12 of them. Vayilakei Shevet Shimon, the one which came up in the lottery, was Shevet Shimon. He brought the tribe Binyamin by its families. And the one chosen was the family of Matri. By Shob and Kish, and finally among the family of Matri, they made a separate girdle, and they fell upon Shob and Kish. By Vakshu, they looked for him, Veloni, so he could not be found. Chavbeis, Vayishalu Od Bashem, they asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu further, Haba Od Halom Ish, is there anybody else who came nigh, who drew nigh to this place today? Vayomer Hashem, Hashem said through the Urim V'tumim, Hinei Hu Nechbal came, he's hiding among the all the people's possessions, where they had their stockpile, their possessions, while they made this little gathering here. So in any event, we see a very important thing. Rashi and the Radak say that he was Nechbal Kain doesn't necessarily literally mean he hid among all the boxes, but it means that he hid somewhere. Until they actually asked Urim V'Tumim if he should be king or not, because he wasn't convinced that he had to be king, and therefore Kain refers to the Kli Shalish, the holy vessels of the Urim V'Tumim. But be that as it may, despite the coronation by Shmuel, his sneeze shows sneeze perceived prevents his acceptance of the leadership. The Gemara in Zvachim Daf Kuf Bey says that the word halom, which we have in Pasuk Chav Beis, in Pasuk Chav Beis refers to kingship. Whoever has the term halom, he's a king. Except here, the question is what exactly the word means on a pashup shot level. Halom can mean one of three things. It can mean to draw nigh, to come closer, to smite, to beat somebody, and to fit when something is suitable or fits somebody the proper way. I'm not sure how here the word halom relates specifically to kingship. What one of the three meanings of the word halam or halom have to do with this kingship issue, but somehow or another this indicates the chazal that Shaul's about to become a king in a public spectacle. This word halom. Okay, v'pasuk tez chavdal, chavgimel rather, v'arutz v'yikachu misham, they ran and they took him over from wherever he was, v'yisiyatzei v'tolcham, and he stood up among the nations, by a shoal they found him, they put him among everybody else in the nation, and he was higher than the rest of the nation, from his shoulder and up higher, nobody even reached his shoulder. That's how tall Shaul is. Shmuel said El Koram to the entire nation, Harisim Asher Bachar Bo Hashem. Did you see the first king who was chosen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Ki and Kabbalah B'chalav. He's so tall. His physical stature is so impressive that there's nobody as tall as him in the rest of the nation, and therefore certainly he's suitable to be king. By Riyu Kolam, and the entire populace started shouting. By Yom, and they said, "Ichi Amelech, let the king live." Now I use the word "live" advisedly here, because although that's how it's commonly translated, like "long live the king," the Targum here says that "Ichi Amelech" does not mean "long live the king," but it means rather. Yatzlach Malche. Let the king be successful. So I'm not sure why he says Yechi HaMelech means that the king should be successful. Why does he just say the king should survive? Why does he say it means the king should be successful? So
this is also the first time it says Malche, right?
Yes, first time it says Malche, right. Their nation
name. They're the one who's saying it as opposed to
right. So it could be that Yatzlach implies also a degree of peerage, I guess would be the right word for it, that everybody's on the same level. They're giving him a bracha and saying to him that, till now, we were all together. Yatzlach, you should be successful in transcending where we all were. It's not a bracha for life. It's a bracha of, okay, you were chosen. From among us, you were just like us, I'll tell you, it's true, a little bit taller. Now, from now on, you should be matzliach above and beyond everybody else. So it's not a question of chiyus. The question is, why does the term itself indicate that it's not related to chiyus, to life force? I can give you a beautiful Musar Haskalah and say, why do you need to tell him yatzlach? Right? Why didn't you tell him yichi? Because life without hatzlacha, without transcending, is meaningless, right? In other words, you don't say Yechi HaMelech unless you mean besides Chiyus, besides life, that you should also have quality. It should be a life of quality, not just quantitatively. What? For you, it just has to exist,
I just
right?
Gotta live. I just gotta get my pizza and beer, and I'm fine.
Also,
no problem.
He's not much left, and he's not gonna live anymore.
Well,
throw them out, huh?
Not a banana republic. But in any event, so I was thinking also it could be that Yechi HaMelech, another interpretation, why the Targum doesn't say it means he should live, is because then I think, although I'm probably wrong about this, that it should have said Yechi HaMelech. The king should live. What is Yechi HaMelech? Very strange usage. So I think that means that the king should, not that he should live in the physical sense, but rather he should have some physical accomplishment, some atzlacha. Well, that's taken from here.
Yeah.
I don't know if it means long life over there. I'm sure whoever sings it has no idea what they're singing.
Well, they sing it still after he's dead, so I don't know if it's...
It's not just Lubavitch who sings it. All chassidim.
Yes.
Oh, and one more thing. But I asked Rabbi Hirsch Eisenberg about it. So he said, so I thought Yechi means, not the Yechi, but rather Yechi means let him give us chiyus. Let him be mechaye us. Let him give us chiyus. But I asked Rabbi Hirsch Eisenberg, he said this is not to be taken as an etymological translation by the Targum. Targum is not translating the words when he says Yechi Melech. He's explaining them. He's acting like a commentary. And that's what he says, Hatzlacha, you should be matzliach, meaning that what else is chiyus for? What else is life for, if not for Hatzlacha, in setting one's path, and that's what they're blessing in him. Yes?
It sounds like
Yechiel would be Kichia.
No, I mean, almost.
Yeah, but wouldn't it still be with a segel at the end, Yechiel or Tichia? Yechi is a strange usage. You're right, though. It's probably incorrect, but that's just an idea I had. Let's see, Chavhei. Vaidaber Shmuel Elam Es Mishpat HaMelucha. Shmuel spoke to the nation the Mishpat HaMelucha. Now, according to the Radak, the Mishpat HaMelucha he mentioned here is the same one mentioned previously in Perakei, which is all the things the king is going to perakes, all things the king is going to do to you which are rotten, mean, and nasty. And telling them that here it's writing down that there was such a Mishpat HaMelucha. According to the Malbim, that was Mishpat HaMelech. That was how an individual king might act. But here, the Rishmol is writing out Mishpat HaMelucha, the rules of the kingship, so to speak, a constitution, to tell us how kings in general should act and not identify with any one specific king. Okay, it was Mishpat HaMelucha, not Mishpat HaMel. And these could be more universal and more easy laws to fulfill, not the very difficult issues which we had. I shouldn't say fulfill. Easier things to swallow than the very difficult issues we had back on point number four in this series. In this series, when we spoke about what the king is going to do, which are negative things and going to bring you all sorts of agmas nefesh. Okay, what happened after all this? He took the stuff, this mishpat hamelucha, vayichtov b'sefer, he put it down in a book, vayanach livnei Hashem, and he put it before God, vayishalach shmos kol mishvei, so he sent everybody home. It's a very interesting thing. I'm not sure exactly what it means, but obviously there's some metaphysical thing in putting this mishpat hamelucha before God, in other words, sitting it down in a guest container somewhere next to the aron. There must have been something strange and something special about it, something mystical quality of putting the mishpat hamelucha next to the aron, which would have an impact on the malchus in general. Okay, otherwise, why did they put it there?
Maybe he gave it some kind of that's the thing that actually gave it the power to start authority.
Yeah. Could be, well, we never saw anything like that anywhere else in Tanakh. That you wanted to activate something, you put it next to the, the Arl, yeah. Okay? In any event, Pasuk Chavav. Vikam Shul Alach LeBeiso. Shul also went home. Agiva also. The Giva went to his regular house. Who else lives in Giva, by the way? Who remembers that? Very famous. Pilagish Begiva, right. Vayelchim O'Chayel Shenoga Elokim B'libam. The soldiers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu touched the hearts went with him. You take a look at Pasuk Chavav in Rashi. Rashi says, according from the Targum, Ashenoga Elokim V'gavlin. The men, Dachli Chatzor, were fearful of sin. The Yisya'iv Dachla mean Kadam Hashem believe on a fear was given from God into their hearts. Those people went with Shaul. Those are the Chayil, the powerful ones. Ashenoga Elokim B'libam, whose heart was touched by, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, it's clear from this, well, let's do Pasuk Chav Zayin. Uvnebli Al-Amru, and people who have no assent, in other words, people who are not over the Hashem at all, they said, my Oshienu said, what good is this guy Shaul going to do for us? When is he going to save us? They degraded him. They didn't bring him any presents, but he was silent. He didn't take this into account. Now, very important things in this Pasuk. First of all, what we see here in Pasuk Chavav is that at least after the whole incident with the prophet, Shaul became a very spiritual person. He was full of Yiras Hashem, right? We see that because Yisya'iv Dachla Mikodam Hashem B'Libhon, that's what Rashi says, he became fearful of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we see this also in the fact that it was Tzonua, it was modest, like we saw earlier in the parak. Those are two attributes of Shaul. And the people who worshipped him, people who came with him, I should say, were the people who owed the Hashem. He was real like a Rebbe. People who came to him, they flocked to him, were interested in his derech in life. The new derech, which he just got a few days ago when he prophesied, but which had profoundly affected him. Those are the people who came to him. Thus, these people, I would assume, are filled mostly although can't say with any degree of certainty whatsoever, but I would assume mostly people who are from his Shevet, and Shevet Yosef as well. People who have fear, people who have awe, right? Like that, like you wrote here, Dachil Chatoa, people who are afraid of sinning. Those are the people included. However, that wasn't acceptable to everybody. The B'nai B'liyal here, right, the people who are against any type of spiritual elevation, so they longed obviously for a king who would mamish be b'kol ha'goyim, would be just like all the nations of the world, not stam a king who's going to be a rebbe, but a king who's going to fight and win wars and hire mercenaries and all that kind of stuff. So therefore they were upset when this was the one who was so chosen. But Shaul did not respond in kind by getting upset at them. Shaul was quiet. Again, because Rachel is jealous, is zealous, gets angry, but keeps it in her heart. Okay? So Shaul too, he kept things in his heart. He didn't say anything. He was silent when it came to displaying the anger that he felt. So, again, everybody was waiting. It was kind of in limbo. Of course, the people who went with Shaul, they felt they were going to be uplifted. But probably didn't happen yet. The people who went and stayed home, they felt they certainly weren't going to be uplifted. So what's the test? Perkudah. How do we test out the situation exactly, pros and cons? It came to pass that Nachash Amoni came and he camped against Yavesh Gilad. So the people of Yavesh all said to Nachash, let's make a covenant and we will serve you. Now, I'm sure where to read the Malbim first. Let's leave the Malbim for a minute. Let's take a look at my sheets here. More of Tzadok. The bottom. Because it's known. The lo titzach lo tinaf, not to murder nor to commit adultery. Haim obos kol midos ros, they are the fathers of all. The kolim, and they include kol harashbam, the entirety of evil in the world. The haim, and they're represented by the yetzar to murder and to create strife and animosity, is the sam, the satan himself. The nachash, and the yetzar of adultery and lust is the nachash, is the snake. How you doing, Bazaar? Both of these are well known in Zohar, but Kamal Kapamim several times mentioned. Sam, the Satichrach, or the Satan, is the agent of Sarashel Esav. Shuraticha, which is murder. Vraticha bidchira. And Raticha, furthermore, is with a male, generally. Vinil benukva, whereas to have fornication, that's for a female. Kaidu b'chom welcome, like it's the known ever. I'll explain a little bit more in a little bit further down. V'inachash, in any event, the yetzer of niuf, of taiva, has to do with the snake. U'kamosha kosem, like it says, that the snake himself came to trip up Chava when Ra'osan oskim derech eretz, he saw them having relations and he got jealous of them. Now, avos hakolos koros, the four of most chatoim, which include all the evils, shame, adam, bir, tzicha, is in Edom, bir, tzicha. The four men excludes all the averos, includes Edom, as Esav is corresponding to the hate of murder, kaya duaz is well known, v'amenu mo'apaniyuf, and amenuav corresponding to the hate of adultery. Shemishram mikoram, because that was the source of Amram Moab, Miznus, from the adultery with their father. Verunitzkar, incest. Verunitzkar v'ledar v'aver, and the truth is that Lot himself wanted to do the aver of having relations with his daughters. Uvemes, however, nevertheless, in truth, nikvosem utaros miyad. The females in the house of Amram Moab, despite the representation of Znus, are merely permitted to come to Klal Yisrael. Kvoshram ruzal echazal say, Shein is kavnul v'ar mitzvah v'vno slot, as the daughters of Lot themselves, Lot was a dirty old man, so to speak. But his daughters, they were l'shem shamayim. They thought they were saving the planet. So therefore, Shein is kavnul slot v'ar mitzvah, Shein is kavnul v'ar mitzvah v'vno slot, v'chem is arav akrem, so too in their children, the women are always mutz immediately. Keep MS, because in truth, Yesh Ba Taiva Gankin is also in drives, Mashu Dover Mitzvah, something which is a Mitzvah Mitzvah. Quash Kasa Medrash Chanel, like it says in Medrash Chanel, which was the books of the Zohar, Shalish Batol, Ye Gankin Yetzora, Lazi Lava, the Yetzora not be nullified even in the world to come. Kedelifos Libos, in order to increase and be multiplied, the Balavachiloya, and the Balavachiloya, Chamido Doreska, without a drive, there's not going to be any enjoyment of Torah either. I know. And so what Yetzar is good and what is bad. So I said before, already alluded to this, a very important point, although not directly related to what we're doing tonight. What taiva is good and what taiva is bad? Good taiva is female taiva. Bad taiva is male taiva. If they understand that in a Kabbalistic paradigm, let's let me first read inside before. V'ayokiyacheshek, shezel mitzad anukva, desire which comes from the female aspect, that's also good. But influence, positive influence, which has to do with the male aspect, not a desire which comes from a loss, there's no good in that at all. You see that distinction? See it? If you have a desire, which is just a male paradigmic desire, that means you just want to impose on other people. I was just reading.
Einstein
101. It's quixotic. What can I do? So I was just reading this morning. An hour ago, in Johns Hopkins magazine. It's a magazine put out by Johns Hopkins that they manage now to isolate a gene, which causes the presence of which limits violent behavior. And they took it out of mice, and they found there was one mouse, a male mouse. Once they took out this gene, he wanted to mate with a female mouse. He tried 60 times in 1 minute. Each time the female mouse said no. I don't know, they say no, but she said no each time. And you see from this amazing sort of thing, which is true, which is that there is a way in which taiva is imposing yourself, right? Taiva. Normally, I think imposing myself as being violent in the sense of going out and killing, or murder, or robbing, or beating up, or something like that. That's kina. But there's also a taiva of imposing yourself on somebody else as well, which really is that, you know, the chait of rape or such like, right? That's a bad taiva. That can never be good. A good taiva is a feminine taiva, so to speak. Why? Because a feminine taiva means that you're missing something and you want it to be fulfilled. You're not going and imposing yourself, you want something, and you want that something really bad, you want to be fulfilled in that way. So therefore, that's good for learning Torah. Because for learning Torah, you don't want to impose yourself on the Torah. That type of taiva, the male model taiva, is bad. You understand what I'm saying? Because that means, okay, I want to go out and I have a lust to connect to everything and impose myself on everything. Which I thought I could do, but that's not a good taiva for learning Torah. The taiva for learning Torah is what? To want to receive, to get, to draw in, to bring in as much Torah as one possibly can. Right? So there's good taiva and there's bad taiva. A kina is always bad, it seems. Jealousy, there's no such thing as good jealousy. Now, be that as it may, the chait of taiva is connected with two components here. With nachash, the snake, right? He's the one who tried for the first time. Samuel, the son of Esav, is different. He's in charge of kina, of jealousy, strife. But the nachash, he's the guy who has to do with the taiva. And also it's connected with Amon and Moab as opposed to Edom, because Edom, they're the strife people. Esav, Amalek, Achar, B'chot, Tichya, you know, the violent kind of guys. But Amon and Moab, that's the chait of taiva, right? The chait of taiva. And now possibly we got a double whammy here. We got Nachash Hamoni. Right? See that? Okay, that's the Goyish side. So we got here a guy who's really into taiva, certainly in a very corrupt way. He's not only is he from the nation of Ammon, which corresponds to taiva, but he's a male, and his name is Nachash. So you get any worse taiva than that? Obviously not. Now let's look at who's attacking. He's attacking Yavish Gilad. Right? Those are the people he's attacking, the people of Yavish Gilad. Now it's a beautiful, beautiful Malbim here. Take a look at the Malbim here. Vayah Nachash Amoni. Kefir Nire, it seems, Kiskani Nachash Hashim Lichu Yisrael Melech. Nachash is upset that the Jews took a king. V'ratzo v'izgarbo milchama, therefore he wanted to pick a war with the Jews. V'chein ola l'anshi Yavish Gilad, that's why he attacked the people of Yavish Gilad. Why? You're so beautiful. Ki b'nei b'nyamin lochu nishayim. At the end of Parah Sefer Shoftim, Yavish Gilad's males were all killed out. For whatever reason. And who married the females of Yavish Gilad back then? Those were the two girls who the Binyaminites went out to, you know, capture in the fields when they made the dances and the Binyaminite people went out to catch them. Am I drawing a blank? Can you remember, Dr. Stella? Remember that? Mrs. Levine, you remember that? Okay.
I wasn't here yet.
Yeah, I can't. So they're dancing. They were dancing in the fields and the Binyaminite, Mr. Remmer and Mr. Zuger. The Binyamin people used to come and capture them. So in any event, so that means that who is now living in Yavish Gilad? Binyamin people. They were the ones living there. Even though it was not part of their original Nachlo, yeah. Because originally Binyamin was on the East Bank, the West Bank, and this is on the East Bank of the Jordan River. So in any event, so these are Binyaminites. He says, Vabonas Yorshu Kikias Vistomis Yashu Vishomi Vne Binyamin. This must have been young people. Because actually, Yavish Kargu, because they killed the men of Yavish. Vabonas Yorshu Nachos Avosayim. And the daughters in Yavish Gilan inherited their father's portions. Okay, Ola Aleim. And that's why Yavanagos says, I'm going to get these guys. Because they're the family of this new king, the Shoal guy. So if I want to quash these Jews before they start up with this king business, who am I going to attack first?
Get the family.
Get the family, right. Okay?
So
they said, people wanted to say, no, we'll make for you a covenant. We're going to serve you. So now, let's talk about Gilad. Let's go back to my notes here. Last line on the first page. Okay, Koshmogi Galeid. Lavan called, when Lavan and Yaakov met up on the border of Eretz Yisrael, so they Lavan wanted to attack Yaakov, and Yaakov obviously Hashem protected Yaakov, and then they set up a monument. Lavan called the monument Yagar Sa'adusa, and Yaakov called it Galeid. Everyone remember that? Anybody remember that? It's the end of Parshas Vayetze? Okay.
Third grade.
Long
ago.
You don't see it every year when we wait.
I'm usually sleeping at that time.
Okay.
Yeah, it's also 2 months ago.
Hashem b'chol makom hukach adavar v'kiyuma v'chiyuso. The name of a place or a thing is the power of that thing and its sustenance and its life force. V'chein ha'muzan, that's what Chazal say. B'gilad shchichei rotzchim. In Gilad there are a lot of murderers. Because you know the two negative traits, primary negative traits are not murder, and adultery. Like we said just a few minutes ago. Negative mitzorah, these correspond to a mitzorah. Which chait does a mitzorah commit? Lashon hara, which corresponds to strife and murder, right? And mizav corresponds to the chait of adultery, of desire. Zav is not sent out of the camp of the Jews. Because the basis of Avodah Hashem is desire to be fulfilled by coming close to Hashem. The Gama Taivas Kasherim, and also Taivas, normally Abiyaroi, if they're done properly, they mikrochaim, they're the primary sustaining force in life. Ashara, they leave you children, Varolada, and they give Sharolada to have be immortalized by having children. Varolada chaim domi to give birth to similar children to yourself. V'chein achil chayaguf, and so to eat is necessary to get to sustain the body. V'kach b'shlaim moitzes nus rosh tov osayim, and every shlaim the primary of air was always nus. Avo beumos, but by the going the primary yitzar is not taiva, but ritzicha, violence. Goyim are violent. So that's why Mitzor represents that sin is kicked out of the entire encampment of the Jews outside the city. That's why Chazal say, David made exer that Givonim could never enter the Jewish people, Gibeonites. Why? Because they're not from Jews. They can never be Jews because they were demonstrating an unusual degree of cruelty in demanding that Shaul's sons be hung. Later in the Sefer Shmuel, there's some iniquity that Shmuel had committed against them. Why do we Jews have strife? Or Jews are not. He's saying, what's the Jewish Yetzer HaTaiva? Not Kina. So why do we have strife? Where does it come from? It's Yitzhak Lavan. Because our grandfather, maternal grandfather, was Lavan. We got Goyim in the Mishpacha. She was shorish imos, and he was the root of the imos, of the mothers. The Gilad u'agvul ben Lavan liYaakov. Now Gilad was the boundary, the demarcation point between Lavan and Yaakov. Kosh Kozal says, Imani avor es agal, I'm not going to pass this monument, and neither are you. Shezem meiva l'gal mizeh, one guy stayed on the gal, on one side of the gal, on the east side of the gal, that's Lavan, v'zem mizeh, and Yaakov stayed on the west side of the gal. That's why in Dara Chabez, amazing Gemara there, it says that Ulu was walking along with two fellows, and one of them killed the other person. And Ula came to her, he asked Ula for a little bit of askama for having killed the other wayfarer. And Ula, you know, was forced up the creek. He didn't want to get killed himself, so he gave the guy a little bit of askama. And we get to Rabbi Yochanan, and it's fair, Rabbi Yochanan, you can ask Rabbi Yochanan whether what he did was right or not, so it was okay. But the bottom line is that Rabbi Yochanan asked him, how could this happen? It happened in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, everybody makes shalom. Everybody's appeased to each other. Jews are one big happy family in Eretz Yisrael. Ha ha ha. It used to be. It used to be. So in any event, these two rabid communists in front of me, that's a problem. In any event, so Ula says, no. It happened on the other side of the, outside of Eretz Yisrael. Atmar was still on the east bank of the Jordan River, whatever it was. So Rabbi Yochanan says, oh, Yetzich Farshtei, I understand exactly what happened here. So Chen is the Dorim, the Levra cause, Akatu Avri Yadonis, before they passed over the Jordan. Over Parshas Matos, and in Parshas Matos, Nikro Kol Avri Yadin Eretz Gilad. All of Avri Yadin is called Eretz Gilad. Shom Halach Roges. That is where there is anger. That's why in Gilad there are a lot of murderers. Now the Gal in Gilad distinguishes between the Jews and the Goyim. Because in the middle of Gilad itself is a distinction between Jews and Goyim. Because in Gilad there is both a distinction and a correlation between Jews and Goyim. Why is that? Because we both have murders. However, the Torah says, by Gilad, by us, it's different. By Goyim, in Stama they do it amazing, they don't need a takana. By us, in Stama, even if Jews murder, it's true that shows there's a shortcoming in them. But the kind of murder is what kind of murder? B'shoigek. Unintentional murder. And that's how we have our mikvot. Because if we don't sin with that sin in a normal fashion. So even in Gilad, even in Bavera, there's a distinction between Klaisel and the Goyim. Mitzad etzem ha'isyachasus, where there can be some correlation because we have that sin. Mishomatz monikra evel, there you can also show to tell the difference because our sin is not of the same magnitude. K'moshar muzal, Chazal say, why is the Nitan Torah Shbal Peh, why is Torah Shbal Peh given in Aramaic? Shelo yomra umos on Israel. So to show that in areas where we are similar, in Aramaic, which is a mixture of Hebrew and Syrian, there too there's a difference between us and the Goyim. That's a very important thing. Because in things which are completely different from the Goyim, you can say that Jews are different. It's not a milah for a Jew to be so different in something, in keeping Shabbos. Keeping Shabbos doesn't show our unique quality. Because Goyim have no such thing as Shabbos. In kosher even. But in quite areas where there is some parallel, that's where it's the most important to show that Jews are different. And here too, he says that Torah Baal Peh was in Aramaic to show that although there's something here which has to do with Goyim, don't think that Jews and the Goyim are the same. And by Malachim, they try to believe it's over by Malachim, they don't have good and bad. The only good. They can't recognize Aramaic. They don't talk Aramaic because Aramaic is the language which corresponds to good and bad. That's why Aramaic is the language of the Kaddish, right? Because the Kaddish talks about, is said by somebody who sees, perceives bad, who perceives death. But also, no, nonetheless, he's God of his God, the Shmei Rabbah. That's why love and call the Yigar Sadusa to try and impose his Aramaic nature on Jews. And we call it Galad. Lebeis, to show our Jewish nature. Lebeis are also now for that purpose. So in any event, in Gilad, there were people from Shevet Yosef. We know that. Gilad was Shevet Yosef. And here, Shevet Binyamin as well, both sons of Rachel. Rachel is the mother who represents Kina, right? The type of sin of Esav. Kina leads to Ritzicha. And in fact, it led to Ritzicha occasionally. But they had to be on the border. They had to be the ones put there in Gilad, where is the boundary and the demarcation and the battle point between Lavan and between Klai Yisrael. Because they have to face the goyim and show that our kina is a kina l'shem shamayim. It's true we slip up. Sometimes we have roitzchim b'shogeg. But our kina really is not a kina of Edom, but a kina of Pinchas. Pinchas who came on his mother's side from the tribe of Yosef. Right? The kina l'shem shamayim, which is very connected to the meat of Yiras Hashem. And the truth is, that's really what's happening here is that you have the powers of Nachash Ahamoni, represents Taiva, battling with the forces of Yosef and Binyamin, who represent Kina, but good Kina. That's what this is like, a reenactment of Potiphar and Yosef. Nachash Ahamoni versus Binyamin. So here, that's what's happening. He's coming and saying, I want to overcome you guys. I want to override you guys with our tivus.
It tells you a lot about living in a Jewish society.
Well, here they were living in a Jewish society, but they're on the border. They're on the border. That's right. Right, because that midah was much more prevalent on the East Bank, because there they had to fight the Goyish midah with the Goyish midah of Europe, but L'shem Shamayim. And here was a big sign for them.
So here's the Musar. The Musar is what?
What?
Living in a culture like ours, the Musar would be what? What would you say?
You have to use that. Yeah, you were very similar. The point is that we're very similar to the Goyim, because we live in their societies. And obviously, if you're a chassid or something else, who close yourself off, so it's not so difficult. But for those of us who are much more involved, the Yisrael is much more difficult, and we are kind of on the battle lines. We have to be very careful to use those midos which we see from the goyim only the shem shamayim and not for the wrong purposes. So let's just end off because it's late. So so Vayomer Lehem Nachash, just want to read Pasuk Beis. Vayomer Lehem Nachash Amoni Nachash Amoni says, V'zos Achros Lechem Bris. You know how it says to make for you a covenant? Then call Lechem Kolein Yamin, if each one of you gouges out his right eye. V'samtio Cherba Koi, so I'll make it a mockery for all of Klai Yisrael. So the point of Pshat is he wants to degrade Am Yisrael and show, see you guys, your king is no good. That's what Malvin says. He says, your king is no good. Your king doesn't protect you. Araya, I can take out all of your right eyes and show that this whole newfound unity and oneness of the kingship is a bunch of hogwash. It doesn't, you don't protect, you're not protected. The Rashi brings down a little drasha, the Medrash Chazal says, take out your right eye, that which is precious to you like your right eye. The Torah which says that lo yavo amoni moavi b'kal Hashem, which is degrading to us, the Ammonites, I want to take that away from you. That's what I want to take. And that's my demand for Krisas Bris. Needless to say, this is an intolerable demand, whichever way you learn it, and we will see in Pasuk Gimel next week how Shaul dealt with this and was successful in establishing his kingship.